This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Top Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. The Mets run continues with a huge Game 1 win against the Milwaukee Brewers in the Wild Card Series in Milwaukee. I didn't know what they were going to look like. I didn't know what this celebration was going to do. I didn't know all that travel, if it was good form or not, but they came rolling into Milwaukee and they beat the Brewers in impressive fashion, a five-run fifth. That really turned this whole thing with a Jose Iglesias hustle play that led to this two-out rally. And man, I tell you, this team and the situations that they have been in with their backs up against the wall constantly, they get down 2-0 early. Severino looks like he's going to have one of these miserable postseason starts. He settles in. He gets better. They bounce right back, score some runs. We said the Brewers are going to score, but what type of Mets offense was going to show up? The best one did yesterday. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I got to say, it was also at the perfect time of day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was great. You know, you're done by 7:30. Everything's good. You settle in, watch the VP debate and all that other stuff. But I have to say, here's one thing that is probably hidden, although for us Met fans who can appreciate what happened yesterday, maybe it's not so hidden. One of the things that happened yesterday, and I know it's frustrating for the player that I'm going to talk about, but the player did exactly what he had to do, and that is Pete Alonso. They don't want to pitch to him. So, you know, you can imagine how much pent-up frustration he probably has. Like, he wants to hit home runs. And, you know, if you told me that both he and Francisco Lindor, and I think Lindor went hitless as well, and the Mets were going to put up 8 runs, I would tell you that's exactly the kind of thing that you want to have happen.
With no home runs.
Right, right. Eventually, they're going to get going, right?
Yeah.
They will. Hopefully, they'll get going and things are going to be going well. But, you know, he walks 3 times. And now, all of a sudden, Vientos comes up. All the guys behind him come up. J.D. Martinez comes up. I mean, and they get hits and they keep moving the batting order. And that's exactly what you want. As much as I want Pete Alonso hitting home runs and knocking runs in, if they're not going to pitch to him and he's going to take 3 walks and the guys behind him are going to come through, then I'm totally good with that. And I felt like yesterday Pete Alonso was very disciplined. Let's put it that way. And that's a part of what's going on here because other players are stepping up. And I can't reiterate just how not that the Mets are lucky, but the performance that they're getting out of Vientos.
Again, yeah, I mean, how about everybody contributing? You could pick out any number of guys yesterday that got big hits in big situations. I mean, from the Iglesias diving and getting to first base and keeping that inning going, from J.D. Martinez coming up after how much he was been slumping the last several weeks and to fight off a pitch and get that. It was, as they say, death by 1,000 paper cuts. What they were doing is shoots that single out into right field. If it was Jesse Winker's 2-run triple, I mean, this is, you know, if you're going to win in the postseason, we've seen the opposite with the Yankees for years in the playoffs where their offense goes silent. If you're going to win, you got to get contributions from 1 through 9. You have to. You cannot have that black hole at the bottom of the lineup. And the Mets certainly did not. You mentioned how Alonso and Lindor both didn't have offensive days. They didn't hit a home run, and they still scored 8 runs. I mean, that right there shows you that they've got, they can win all sorts of ways.
Well, and the other thing, too, is Luis Severino. As you know, as we're sitting there watching the first inning, like, oh, this is not going to be good. But he finally settled down, and Jose Buto was great. And you know, they're set up now. They have their pitching rotation set up. They have their bullpen set up. They just are in the right place at the right time with the right set of circumstances surrounding them. Now, if they can win today, that would be awesome. Get a couple days rest, and boom, here we go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing, and you're right, it is all set up, but it never always works out that way. I mean, you would have thought that this game yesterday would have been all set up for the Brewers, and they jump on the Mets 2-0, and of course the Mets come back and beat them, but you're right. I mean, you've got Manaea on the mound. You've got Maton and Diaz, who didn't pitch yesterday. You've got the 1-0 lead in the series. You're right. This is you got to go get it. I mean, you do not want to go into that game 3 with everything being lined up the way that it is, especially on the road in Milwaukee after them winning a game. So, I mean, this, even though it's not an elimination game today, it almost feels like it is because you want to get this one.
So, Iglesias and Taylor, David Stearns guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, coming through and... All you could say is that, you know, they're pressing all the right buttons. And, you know, if they're going to hit the way they're hitting and they're going to come up with timely hits the way that they have, especially in, you know, in game 1, obviously, in the 8th and 9th inning. And then yesterday, the way that it kind of unfolded after getting down 2-0, you know, a lot of people like are posting at us, you and me, and I'm sure they're doing it to Al as well, that there's something special about this team, something special about this team. Maybe there really is something special about this team. And it's only game 1. But it was an impressive game 1. It was an impressive performance. And the fact that Luis Severino found his pitching mojo the last, I think, 4, 5, and 6, those innings, he found his way back into the game, if you will. And I got to say, they played, with the exception of one miscue out in center field, where I felt like, oh, here we go with the Brewers, and they're going to remind me of the 2015 Kansas City Royals. It was the Mets who did a lot of the great base running, and the Iglesias dive into first base, although they say never do that.
Yeah.
That time, I think that it actually did give him an opportunity to be safe at first, and that's the kind of thing that you love to see as a fan.
Yeah, well, of course, especially from, a guy's been doing it all year, and the thing that I'll say that's different about this team, I think, is the fact that they really trust one another, and they really bought into what Carlos Mendoza was saying when they were celebrating, that hell, everybody had us dead, we were sellers, and you came back, you proved everybody wrong. And you could just tell, like, communication in the outfield between outfielders, you know, there's never any like collision. One guy peels off right away. When they get up there and they have a meeting on the mound, they're all hugging each other. Just, there seems like there's this special feel with this team. They trust each other so much, but you know, it really, none of that could matter. But I will say that the really good thing that makes you excited about what could happen with them, and they still could lose this series, is there's many examples of teams that did not have the best regular season record winning a World Series, getting to a World Series, slaying Dragons. I mean, you go back last year, the Arizona Diamondbacks. You go back to the Philadelphia Phillies 2 years ago. You go back to even the team that beat the Mets in 2006, the Cardinals. I think they were 82-80 that year. You know, so there's so many examples of that.
I mean, if you just said Winker and Martinez, and a Winker triple was awesome. I mean, when you just say those two guys, where have they been?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, and they showed up yesterday, and maybe they showed up yesterday because maybe everybody else was exhausted. I don't know. I don't know what the situation, I don't know why it is what it is, but when that ball goes into the right field corner and it's caroming around down there and it's, you know, they're flubbing around, I mean, and runs are scoring, and he goes to third, it's like you could just see that now all of a sudden everybody's got a little bit of skin in the game.
Well, yeah, and also that was your big take with Precious Achiua, skin in the game.
You wanted that skin in the game.
Get that skin. There's
Precious Achiua's card right there, baby. It's not going to leave me. He's right here with me. We got him. We kept him. He's
still
happy.
There. So, and of course, you mentioned the Winker triple, which leads to this back and forth with Willy Adames of the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's funny, if you haven't seen the John Boy breakdown, you got to watch the John Boy breakdown. And I don't know what was the impetus for Winker rounding second and screaming expletives. I don't know if him and Adames don't get along. I don't know if it was just one of those like outbursts because he was so happy about his hit, but Adames takes exception to it. They go back and forth. Winker, what are you going to do? Adames, meet me in the parking lot. You know, F you, mother effer, all this stuff.
You know, it's funny. They were interviewing Christian Yelich in between innings. Yeah. And Christian said, hey, you know, I don't need to get in the middle of that. You saw what happened.
Right. Exactly.
So there's got to be some sort of personal beef between those two, maybe from when they were previous teammates.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And apparently, you know, all the Mets beat writers are tweeting that they hate Winker there in Milwaukee. Like, we hated him when he was not a Met. So they were booing him and getting all over him. So
why does everybody hate Winker?
Well, because he's one
Winker's
of those
a dude. You know, he looks like just like
you know
normal
why?
Dude.
Well, he's an agitator. He's like he's one of those classic. You hate him when he's on somebody else's team. You love him when he's on your team. He's like he's like Sean Avery.
So yeah, I was gonna say he's our Sean Avery in a baseball uniform.
Right, and he was
well,
like
that's
the
kind of guy you want. Don't you want a guy with edge?
I never said I didn't want a guy with edge. I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it reminds me of our softball team. I would say that, you know, we were really buttoned up, and normally we would play very fundamental softball. But we always had that. We had Kirsch. Remember the guy Kirsch?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jerry's buddy, the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was running all over the place like a freaking Tasmanian devil.
Yeah.
He was our Jesse Winker.
Yeah. You remember the softball team better than you remember your NFL career.
I know, because I was a little bit more in charge. You know, in my NFL career, I had to worry about playing quarterback first.
Yeah.
But in softball, I had to really, truly, like, take ownership and stock in the roster and who was playing and where they were playing and how they were playing and whether or not I needed to have a one-eye conversation with somebody.
Yeah, and I know I this is just
common. Like I wore two or three different hats with that.
Sure, certainly. And I know what you're going to say, and I said it yesterday, and I am not looking ahead or past. I'm just stating the fact that how much fun it would be to have a Mets-Phillies NLDS. How much fun. Now, I'm not saying they're done. I'm not saying it's happening. I know they got to win another game. That would be a lot of fun. I'd be disappointed if they didn't get to that point. And I know how good the Phillies have been, and the Mets would be big underdogs. I don't care. I want a piece of that. That's what I want. But one pitch, one inning, one at bat, one game at a time.
Yes. Thank you.
All right.
I'm not even going to respond to that.
Hey, man,
I'm not responding.
What are you supposed to do?
I'm not responding.
Not get excited, not look ahead, not be positive about it?
I am. I'm excited about looking ahead to today's game.
Yeah, okay, I know.
I mean, just keep it simple. You don't have to complicate things.
I'm not complicating
just
things.
Just keep it simple.
I mean, if you listen, I'm not complicating things.
It's not complicated to me.
I'm just saying the winner of this series plays the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, we know what goes on.
All right, exactly. I'm saying from a Mets perspective, give me some of that.
Did you see the Brewers manager talking about his starting pitcher?
Yes, and taking him out. And,
yes.
And, yeah, he had no idea what was going on. I mean, he sounded like a politician that got boxed in about Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, he kind of did, yes.
That's what it sounded like.
Just a knucklehead.
I mean, that didn't it? I mean, he was Pat Murphy, who is well-respected in the game.
I love Pat Murphy. I told you, I interviewed him.
Yeah.
I love the guy. I love his story, and I love he's a baseball guy through and through. He's like a Don Zimmer. He's like a Terry Collins. He's that type of guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it was the questions were asked, and he basically he didn't seem like he had a understanding of where his starting pitcher was in the game when he was taken out, and it cost him. So that's their problem now, and to figure it out. They got, you know, the Brewers have had a history of bowing out early in the playoffs. It's one of those things you talk about a tension of a fan base in a building. You know, that's going to be there today in Milwaukee. Like, here we go again, another one of these situations where we feel like we have this great team, You know, they had the T-shirts, Undaunted, and, you know, we're different. We're going to play the game this way.
The average Joes.
Yeah, the average Joes and the Patches O'Houlihan and all this stuff could be evaporated in two games. Well, and you're going to feel that in that building today. And the Mets have to go in there, and they got to take control, and they got to use that tension that's out there in Milwaukee to their advantage.
Yes. Well, I hope so, but it's like you're only as good as your next day's pitcher. And I think we got a good pitcher on the mound.
Well, yeah, I mean, a guy who, if I could throw anybody out there,
he would be the guy. Well, David Peterson.
Yeah, I still think I'd say Manaea. Peterson's right there, and he was awesome the other day.
Peterson's been great all year.
I mean, there's not a wrong answer there, but
okay. But that's a good problem to have.
Certainly a good problem
to have.
Yeah,
but lots of decisions.
Yeah, man, I tell you, and To be down 2-0 after all that travel and then just come roaring right back, that to me was the most impressive thing out of anything. Well,
getting contributions from guys we haven't seen give consistent contributions over the last month.
Yep, that's right.
That's the key. That's the playoff thing. That's the thing that they keep talking about. It's a new season. It's a new beginning. It's a new way of doing things. And if they're not going to pitch to Pete Alonso, and he's not going to be fishing, and he's just going to go to first base, and that's the game. That's what you have to do. You know, maybe he gets one pitch at bat to maybe drive or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you just get on base and just keep passing it along, that is the unselfish thing to do. That's the way to get on base. That's the way to play as a team, and don't be selfish. And, you know, that was what I took out of yesterday's game, which was really was a nice thing to see because – you know, I didn't know, like everybody else, I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, so the game one against the Phillies would also be Saturday. So the Yankees also play Saturday, and game one against the Phillies is also Saturday. Be a big Saturday, you know?
Well, I'm not worried about Saturday.
Okay.
I mean, it's really, I'm worried about Wednesday. Today's October 2nd.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. You and I personally have a big day.
Oh, I'm very excited.
And, I'm looking forward to that, and I don't need you talking about anything other than Wednesday.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
You got it.
Now, the next game is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a 7:30 game tonight on ESPN, Wednesday. That's it.
Got it.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network as we bask in another Mets win, this time an actual playoff win in a wild card series against the Milwaukee Brewers. They continue to roll with an opportunity to move on later on tonight. There's some Jet stuff that we will certainly get to from yesterday as well, and I'm sure Jerry's going to have some of it right now with his first update of the morning. What's going on, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app. Roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So we take you to Milwaukee yesterday. You've got the Mets in the midst of this 5-run fifth inning and the go-ahead shot from the youngster.
4-4, bases loaded, two out on the fifth. First pitch, line the other way. Base hit right field. Lindor is in. Iglesias being waved in. Frilich throw to the plate. Not in time. Sliding in safely is Iglesias. 5-3 New York. Nimmo goes to third. Vientos on at first with a 2-run single. His second hit of the game.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Biatch! 6-4 at that point. The Mets tack on two more with the J.D. Martinez pinch hit 2-run single and 8-4 the final score as they take game one from Milwaukee. The biggest hit in that inning, though, clearly the infield single by Iglesias with two outs. Basically beating the pitcher to the bag with his head first dive. Here was Iglesias on the postgame show.
I just go, you know, I'm going to give everything I got. I just go, you know, I get to beat the ball. I was a huge player in the game. And that got us going, and we scored a lot of runs after that.
Yes, they did. Wound up scoring five in the inning. Here was Vientos on SNY. He clearly nervous how he dealt with the nerves going into this postseason game.
Saying, hey, let's go. This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted. Keep pushing. We got to get this win. Honestly, just self-talk, because that's what this game is, man. It's just a lot of emotions, a lot of, like, highs and lows, and I was feeling the high today.
He's the real deal, guys.
Sure seems like
it. He's the real deal, and he should only get better. He stays healthy. He should only get better, and what we've seen, a full season of him, and because of Greg Beatty's injuries and ineffectiveness, the door opens for him. He makes the most of it, and it's great to have a young player that is a clutch player as well.
Didn't Brett Beatty break his hand too or something?
He got hurt
in the minors.
But he was ineffective. Remember, he was their guy. Like, all right, he's going to come up here. He's going to be the guy. And maybe he eventually will be one of the guys. But I think Vientos has shown everybody.
You remember early on in the season, too, where Vientos didn't make the team out of spring training, was pissed off, and then was, like, liking negative Mets posts on Instagram. Come a long way from that.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, because he felt like he belonged, and I think he's proven that he's belonged.
Certainly.
Here is J.D. Martinez. He pinch hit in that fifth inning for Jesse Winker, who had the triple in the second. Here was Martinez and SNY talking about that at bat and the two-run single.
We don't get pitched away. It's just, we kind of talk about it. One pitch at a time. Let's just keep this thing going. Pass the baton, and just get the next guy up. Find a way. Compete. Don't give runs out. Don't give, outs up. And find a way to get on base. That's the biggest thing.
And he did. And a big two-out hit there to stretch the lead as well. Now we get to Winker before we get to Adames. First, Winker on the two-run. So Milwaukee gets out to the lead. Winker promptly ties the game with his two-run triple.
Yeah, I mean, you're fired up. It's what you play the game for, to help a team win a game in the playoffs. It's so much bigger than yourself.
That's true. And then in terms of Adames, now I know you guys said you saw the John Boy thing. I did not.
Yeah.
So this was Adames asked what was going on between the two of you as he's rounding first and second on his way to third.
I don't know what was going through his head, but he just started saying some stuff and I just said something back, I don't know. I think that's, the kind of player he is, it is what it is.
And that's the kind of player he is. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. That's what I mean.
Worked out well yesterday.
Well, yeah, the type of player he's an agitator. He's an antagonist. And when he's going to let you know about it.
That is, and he did. And they continued as the at-bat was going on, the next at-bat going on where they had the sack fly. He's still chirping. Here was Pat Murphy. Man, that was not us tonight.
We've been good all year in the bullpen. We had a lead in the game, and we had four of the best relievers in the game eligible, so we felt pretty good about it.
And that was
translation. Ain't my fault.
Well, that's true. I think that was why you took Peralta out after four, essentially, and then we'll have more of him coming up, because I saw one of the first things he said was, when the reporter's like, he just retired 9 in a row. Why are you taking him? I goes, it was not 9 in a row. And he looks at the run.
It was
like,
9-3, 6-9.
Well, one was hard hit, though. Okay, fine. So you've got game two tonight. You've got our old pal, Frankie Montas, making the start for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, we never even saw the guy.
I know.
When he was here. It was terrible for like two starts, and then he got hurt, and he was done.
That was pretty much it. And then Sean Manaea goes for the Mets. This is a 7:38 start, though, tonight, not 5:30 on Odyssey Mets Radio. All right, also last night, so the Braves, after beating the Mets in Game 2 on Monday, go to San Diego and a couple of Yankees doing the Braves in.
Here's the 1-2, and Higgy swings, sends into the air, deep to left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. It's going to go!
Kyle Higashioka, the home run stroker with the home run to make it 4-0 for an
pipe and smoker.
I'll tell you what, that Tatis home run was a bomb.
I was going to get to that next hour, but yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a bomb, man.
I mean, this is my Yankee theme here.
Hershiakioka.
So while he had the home run, you had Michael King go 7 innings and strike out 12 for the win. He says the pitches were working.
The sweeper felt good in the bullpen, so I wanted to use that a little bit more than I normally do. Fastball command was good, glove side, so I think it opened it up for some more chase over there.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of chase. Their ball's like 3 feet out of the strike zone. The Braves were swinging it.
I know.
Why don't they ever do that when they play the Mets?
I can't answer that.
They were tired from the flight.
Yeah, probably. And they had to focus on playing two tough games, not one.
That is true.
That second one.
That is true. The two American League games. The Tigers beat the Astros 3-1. Rogers is like a law firm. Rogers, Sweeney, and Verling, all with RBI singles. Tarek Skubal, six innings pitched, would have stayed in longer, but had a little bit of an issue.
Cramp, left hamstring. I've had it before. For whatever reason, that's where I cramp, you know, when I kind of get dehydrated.
Drink some water, yeah. For God's sake. Yeah,
that would help.
You know, get an IV, Doc. What are we doing?
By the way, they still won the game.
Go Tigers, man. I am rooting for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Okay. Got any reason why?
Hey, you know what? Because they haven't been around for a while.
Okay. That's true.
It's nice to have them back in the playoffs and doing what they did in the month of September.
Which was pretty remarkable.
It's called a September run, Jerry.
Yes, it was. 100%. And the Royals got the jump on the Orioles. There was only one run scored.
So here's Junior with two down. Swinging a ground ball. Base hit left field. Bobby Witt Jr. drives in Michael Garcia. And how many times did we say that in the first half?
Yeah, well, that was 1-0 in the sixth inning, and 1-0 was the final. Cole Reagans threw six for the win. Here's Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager. Yeah, we're aware we're facing elimination.
I think everybody understands the position we're in, and we need to win tomorrow. I don't think it's a team meeting. Rallying cry. I think everybody fully understands what the situation is.
Corbin Burns was great yesterday. Yeah.
Can't win when you don't score.
Yeah, if you don't score any runs, Jerry.
That makes it very difficult.
It's going to be really hard to win.
Diamondbacks owner Ken Kendrick was on with Burns and Gambo on 98.7 Arizona Sports Radio. He was asked about the signing of Jordan Montgomery, which we know did not go well.
Jordan Montgomery was $25 million, and he pitched to an ERA well over six and got demoted to the bullpen. How disappointed are you in that signing?
Let me say it the best way I can say it. If anyone wants to blame anyone for Jordan Montgomery being a Diamondback, you're talking to the guy that should be blamed.
He said it was his idea. He told the front office to sign him. And then, my God, did he suck.
Looking back, in hindsight, a horrible decision, you know, to have invested that money in a guy that performed as poorly as he did. It's our biggest mistake this season from a talent standpoint. And I'm the perpetrator of that.
Ouch.
Well, good that he takes ownership of it and kind of keeps his GM and manager and the front office, you know, kind of insulated. One thing I will say about him also in this interview, because I heard this interview, he also ripped Major League Baseball for the way that they handled Hurricane Helene.
Which is fine, but he could also rip his team for blowing several games down the stretch.
Nobody knew Jordan Montgomery was going to suck a mean one like he did. If I would have known that, I wouldn't have given him the money. But I don't have a crystal ball. But boy, did he blow. I mean, that guy.
Poor Jordan Montgomery.
That guy blew harder than a F5 tornado.
Oh, boy. The Giants name Buster Posey, their new president of baseball operations. How about that one? All right, to the football we go.
Buster only?
What's that?
Buster only?
Did I say only?
No, I don't know.
No, you said Buster Posey. Oh. You said Buster Posey.
It wouldn't shock me if I said Buster only. Who the hell knows? Buster Posey. Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee on Tuesday, as he does every week. So what about this relationship with Rob Saleh?
There's always going to be messaging and narratives out there. And you have two choices. You can ride the wave, really a roller coaster, or you can say, "Fuck it, I don't care." And I'm the latter.
And then he would go on to say he doesn't concern himself with perception.
I don't get into what the conversation is going on outside the building around myself, the relationships that I have. The most important ones are looking a guy in the eye in a locker room or in a meeting room and knowing, you know, he's got your back, you got his back. Rob and I have a great relationship. We have since day one when I got here.
Went on to say that they are great friends.
Yeah, how was the question asked, by the way?
Was not asked. It was did not mention Boomer.
Okay. But it just was asked like,
I will go back and get the question. It was more of a generic question that McAfee
and just, asked. And just so you know, I told you, this is what the answer would be.
Yeah.
It has to be. This is the only answer he can give at this moment.
Right. If he would have come out and said, yeah, that guy's a jackass.
Right, exactly. He can't say that.
That is true.
And he's not going to say that. But I will say the interesting comments that came out of yesterday were from Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, but this is a classic version of text versus audio.
I didn't hear it. That's why I said to Al, I'd like to hear it.
And he cleared it up because Cimini put out the text, and then Garrett Wilson said he didn't just come out and say that. That was responding to this long, drawn-out question from Bart Scott. And if you listen, all the things that Garrett Wilson says in that answer was answering the exact things that Bart Scott was saying. And it really, it changed my entire opinion on it.
Did he agree with Bart Scott's assessment?
You got to hear the whole thing. I can't.
I heard an answer that he gave about he watched.
No, he disagreed.
He's watching football on Sunday, and he sees a lot of different things that we don't do.
No, see, that's, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you, what he was saying was, Bart Scott goes, I see you guys doing a lot of different things out there. And then Garrett Wilson was like, we're not doing a lot of different things. I don't know what you're talking about. Like me, like just saying that we're doing, like I'm running the same routers, we're not doing a lot of different stuff, so there's really no excuse for us to be confused because we're doing a lot of different things.
So
he wasn't criticizing the offense for being stale. He was responding to Bart Scott saying that you guys are doing a lot of different stuff out there and you need time to learn it, like the Ravens needed time to learn how to deal with Derrick Henry. And he's like, no, we don't need more time to learn it. We're doing the same stuff. We're not doing a lot of different stuff.
But didn't he also say that I watch football on Sundays?
Yes.
And I see teams doing a lot of different things?
He did say that, yes, in the context of they're doing different stuff and probably learning different stuff. We're not. So we can't use that as an excuse that it's
so
going.
He was not taking a shot at the offensive coordinator.
My perception was he was not. Now,
okay.
If you listen to the whole thing,
I will listen to the whole thing.
I mean, but to me, it was not taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett's offense. It was more like, and he came out and said, this was my answer to this long, drawn-out question, which was, you know, Bart was just throwing all this stuff out there, and he had to, like, play whack-a-mole with all these things that Bart was saying that he didn't agree with.
Interesting. Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams has requested a trade. Now, he was on with Up and Adams, K. Adams yesterday.
Adams and Adams.
That's exactly right. And clearly, this was in the morning and before he requested the trade, I believe. A couple of different things. One, she asked about Antonio Pierce liking the tweet about him. I think it was having played his last game with the Raiders, I think it was.
So the big story happens where they think your coach or your coach did, I actually don't know, likes this post about you getting traded. When you heard of that, I guess my first question is, how soon did you hear from coach?
I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him.
So then she would ask about what is his future there.
But a lot of people think you may never play another down as a Raider. What would you say to that?
All I can control is this talk we're having right here. And then after we're done with this, all I can control is the next thing that I'm on to.
And so I guess it was hours later that he requested the trade.
Now, is this I don't know if you know this or not, but is it a weekly spot?
I don't know. It might be.
Yes, it is, by the way.
It is? Okay.
Yes.
So then he had to do this because he's being paid. Because I was going to say, what the hell is Raiders PR thinking putting him on right after that? But if it's a weekly spot, you got no choice.
And just so you know, he did not play against the Cleveland Browns. And they won the game because Cleveland stinks. Their offense stinks. Just if you remember, it was a couple weeks ago where...
if you remember.
Antonio Pierce was talking about business decisions.
Yes. And some guys made business decisions. Yes,
right. We're going to have to make business decisions. I mean, this is not surprising to me at all. This trade should have happened. I believe the trade should have happened in August to September to allow Devontae Adams to get with the Jets and get on the field and get it all figured out.
So I love Devontae. Can't wait to play with him.
Awesome.
Again.
Yeah. So the other part of this is that all these other teams can be involved. You got to remember, Devontae Adams has got to want to go to that team.
Sure. And plenty more on this coming up. Thank you, Jerry.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets win in Milwaukee. Game one with game two tonight. Manai on the mound against Frankie Montas. And 8 o'clock this morning, we will have Phil Sims on. Phil, he's going to tell us about the blueberries and the onions. I love onions. Oh, my. He's going to tell us about all
of that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
oh my gosh, is right. So I wanted to have a little bit more time to discuss the Devontae Adams thing, and we were getting a little bit late in Jerry's update. So just to go back to it before we get back to the baseball, get your Mets calls after 7 o'clock. So Devontae Adams is someone that left Green Bay for a couple of reasons. One, he could get more money with the Raiders, and two, he's being reunited with Derek Carr. That's no longer the situation. He's no longer reunited with Derek Carr. Oh.
He's unhappy?
Right. He's unhappy. Okay. So where does he go? Now, everybody's throwing out a couple of teams. Obviously, the Jets are at the top of the list that we have talked about for months. So how does that happen? Can it happen? And I think every one of the answers to these questions is yes. If the Jets want to make it work and Devontae Adams wants to make it work, they will make it work, cap-wise and everything else, and compensation-wise.
Yeah, I don't see Devontae Adams wanting to go to Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Why not Buffalo?
Just because it's Buffalo, I think he wants to reunite. But it's not, I think, I know. I think he wants to reunite with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've been talking. They've been texting. They've been, you know, whatever. They're friends. They're great friends. You know, he went to the Raiders initially and left Aaron Rodgers to play with his best friend, Derek Carr, who ended up leaving after the Raiders basically benched him. I knew this in the summertime. I knew all of this crap was going on behind the scenes. You know, the other thing, too, is Devontae was playing the game. He was never going to come out publicly and say anything. But now that he comes out publicly and says something, he takes the Raiders politically off the hook with their fans. Now, all of a sudden, he's unhappy and he wants to be traded. And then there was the whole business decision comments about, you know, who was playing, who wasn't playing the week before, who's missing practice, who's missing preseason practices. And these wide receivers, and Devontae is very smart. You know, he wasn't going to go out there and complain publicly because that's going to be a bad image thing for him. And he was just going to percolate behind the scenes. And this was all going to come to a head before too long. And now, you know, of course, the agents, Kenny Chapman and Frank Bauer, at one point in time said, oh, this is unfounded. It's baseless. All of this crap doesn't mean anything. Oh, here we are now, 6 weeks later. Now, all of a sudden, it is baseless and it is founded. And like I told you back in August, and I'll tell you again, this has to do with the contract structure that he has with the Raiders. The Raiders can get out from underneath the contract that will pay him $36.25 million next year and $36.25 million in year 2026. The Raiders, that's not happening for the Raiders.
Yeah, because they've got a roster that flat out stinks, and having an overpaid wide receiver on a team that can't get him the ball is useless.
Right. So, and the fact is, again, football teams will never admit this, but let's face it. The Raiders are in the market for a young quarterback. There's about five of them coming out in the 2025 draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want a top five pick, and they're going to want to take either Shedeur Sanders, Milroe's kid from Alabama, Carson Beck from Georgia, Quinn Ewers from Texas. They're going to do their due diligence on all these guys. And Tom Telesco, their new GM, who had been in San Diego all those years, is going to have to basically cut bait and probably get a second-round draft choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I were the Jets, I would do it today. And I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae's here next week.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and that would be...
The Jets are leaving to go to London. He's not playing now.
So. Right, certainly not. And another part of this, too, and our buddy Vinny Accardi, who does some work for your foundation, actually was the guy who sent this to me on X. But Brian Baldinger, who is very, very good at breaking down stuff.
Yeah, love Brian.
Film.
Yep.
So he's showing in his latest Baldy breakdown from the Jets passing game a couple of instances where the wide receivers are not where they're supposed to be. And Aaron Rodgers is pissed off about it. And one of which is a really bad one on a third down where Garrett Wilson is just, he's supposed to stop. He's supposed to curl in. The ball is right there for him. And he just keeps running. And what it looks like is it looks like Aaron Rodgers underthrew him and the ball's skipping on the turf when actually that ball should be in the hands of Garrett Wilson. He didn't run the route that Aaron was expecting him to run.
All right, so, you know, awareness on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys have played now four games. Again, like I say all the time, you can practice all you want. You can go through all the meetings. You can go through all the walkthroughs. You can do all your special counts at the line of scrimmage.
You can spend all day at the driving range.
You cannot recreate what goes on in a game.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get on the same page when you haven't played a lot of football together under those circumstances, especially when it's bad weather and you're playing against a good defense from Denver and it looks ugly. Everybody's frustrated. Everybody feels pissed off. And I will tell you this right now. Also knowing what I know about players and teammates and things of that nature, there's no hiding that Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Davante Adams are friends and have been, you know, in contact with each other. I guarantee it. You know, what does that do to the Alan Lazards of the world, the Mike Williams of the world, the Garrett Wilsons of the world? How does that make them feel?
Yeah,
that's why you have to be really careful about these things.
And you know what? This is an interesting answer because on one end, it's I'm sorry, but we got to get better, and this guy's better. And he's worked with Aaron before, and you've had opportunities here. And if things were going great in the passing game, he didn't score 9 points against the Broncos, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion. But there's the other side of it of you got to have a harmonious locker room to be able to win. That's a part of it. And today's athlete is one that is more sensitive than in years past. So it's a tough one. But if you can get Davante Adams, you get Davante Adams.
I will say this, and I don't want to speak for Garrett Wilson at all. But again, it's just my senses of being in locker rooms and being around people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Davante Adams. That means less opportunities for Garrett Wilson. That doesn't open the field, but it is less opportunities. And Garrett Wilson's going to want a big contract because in his mind, he feels like he's a top five receiver.
Yep,
I mean, that's still yet to be seen, but he thinks that he's a top five receiver. And quite frankly, he and Breece Hall do have an inflated view of themselves, especially after the way that they played this year.
Can't blame Zach Wilson anymore.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.